Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me some familiar verses of Scripture, the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter 28. Believe in God to move on us tonight and help us. Amen. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down that place in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up in the earth, and at top of it reached to the heavens. And behold, the angel of God ascending, descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. And he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister tonight. Use me as an oracle of your divine presence, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye, and say, you're beautiful. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. I want to talk to you on part two of a sermon, How to Deal with Loneliness. In part one, we discussed Jacob and the loneliness that was in his life. We talked about the fact that alone and being lonely are two different things. Loneliness can lead to very bad behavior. People who have problems in loneliness, sometimes it will actually outcry in killing sprees and different things like that because they really don't know how to deal with the problem they have in their life. We dealt with the reasons for loneliness, and that was isolation, insulation, that one should learn to accept the blame for some of the things that have happened in their lives. We came to the place where Jacob had a vision from God, realized that it was part of the remedy for his loneliness. The ladder that he saw into heaven was Christ. Amen. I quoted that this morning. I saw some people looking at him and said, where did he find that? Well, Jesus himself said in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 51, that ye shall see the Son of Man, and the angels will be descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. So he put himself as being that ladder that would be the connecting place between us and God, and that those angels would be the connection that would carry us up. Could you say amen? Amen. If Jesus is the ladder, then the angels ascending and descending could very easily be our prayers and the answer to our prayers coming back. Amen. Now, I firmly believe that angels minister to us. I believe some people have angels assigned to them. Amen. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I think maybe he had two angels that was assigned to him, and they were goodness and mercy. I bet they had a hard time every time he got in a battle, but they was with him. Glory. Hello? Amen. Somebody said, well, now, preacher, I don't believe that. Listen, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, but to which the angel said, he in any time sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And they not all ministry spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. So I believe that angels minister to us. And just as angels minister to us, I also believe that one of the things that we get mixed up sometime, this is Ken Stroop theory, book one. We like to talk about generational curses, and we like to argue and fuss about them. And I've had these educated fellas tell me there's no such thing as generational curses. And so I hit them from another angle, and they had a real problem coming up with this because I got proof. Amen. But you ever notice that from generation to generation, the same thing happens in families? It's because a demonic spirit's been assigned to that family. A fallen angel has been assigned to that family. And what worked in one generation, he just keeps doing the same thing. Amen. That's why it keeps coming back. And just as there are angels on one side, you say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you getting at? Because I know demon spirits and angels function on the other side. They always mimic what's happening on God's side. So I know we have angels that minister to us. And when we pray, I believe our prayers go to heaven. Amen. And when they're answered, I believe the answer descends back down. Amen. Do you know that's why the Jews always pray facing Jerusalem? Because where Jacob was at, laying on that mountain, he was looking across the Kidron Valley to a place called Mount Moriah. And the temple was built there because they believe that the hole in heaven Jacob saw was right over the top of that mountain. And so whenever they pray, no matter where they are in this world, they will turn and face Jerusalem and pray that way so their prayers will be heard. Amen. And Jacob sees these angels and he begins to pray. Amen. But now notice something, church. The difference between being alone and loneliness. Loneliness is a feeling that no one can really completely share our feelings or share our thoughts. Being alone is an integral part of spiritual growth. Anybody know what quiet time is? Amen. That's when you want to be alone. I remember when I was an evangelist, I traveled most every night. I drove back and forth to my revivals. And about 90% of the time, I was at the house every night when that car went off. And every once in a while, people would want to go with me, and that bugged me. Because I got to where I enjoyed that time in that car by myself, going somewhere to preach, because I'd be alone with the Lord, and I could go to church and come home and not be bothered by folks. Amen. Glory. I had one man travel with me for about a year. You know, I discouraged him every way I could think of. I remember about giving him a heart attack one night. He kept going to sleep. Of course, he told me he was going with me to help keep me awake. Of course, he played the piano and sang. But one night on the way home, I run up behind a transfer truck, pulling one backwards. I got right up against it and said, "Ow!" I had to pull off the road and let him walk for a while. He about died because all he saw was that transfer truck in the windshield, and he thought it was coming through us instead of going from us. He about had a heart attack. Glory. Quiet time's important. Even Jesus withdrew from people to spend time alone. And then he would come back after spending time in communion and fellowship with God. And he would come, and next thing you know, he'd be healing the sick, and raising the dead, and doing great miracles because he had been alone with God. And I believe it's very important in our work with the Lord and in our life with God that we get times when we are alone with God. It's abnormal not to seek times of solitude occasionally. Amen. Many people hate solitude because it means introspection. They can't stand to deal with themselves by themselves. So they don't want to be alone. They don't want to have to think about it. That's why in this world we've got stuff called amusements. Xbox 360. Why people play it? They don't want to deal with nothing, so they get on that game and act like they're fighting a war because they don't want to have to go to war. I love y'all, but the truth's the truth. Glory. Amen. Why do we have Six Flags? Disney World, why do they make so much money? Because we like amusements. Amusement meaning to think. We like stuff that helps us not think. Why? Because when we think, sometimes we have to think about who we are, where we are, what's going on in our life, and we don't like to do that. But listen, had Jacob not done what he did and got alone, he would have never encountered God. He would have never found the change that changed his life forever. He would have never came to that place that he got a hold of God like he did in the story today. You read the Bible, there are a lot of men who were alone when God encountered them. Moses was by himself in the backside of the wilderness when God came to him as a fire burning in a bush and called him to go set his people free. Moses was alone on a mountaintop when God came to him and gave him the Ten Commandments and told him all that he wrote in the first five books of the Bible. Hello? Amen. Elijah was alone when God appeared to him and spoke to him. Amen. Jacob was alone and God appeared to him. Being alone is not all that bad, is it? Amen. If you have plenty of time alone to be with God, you should praise God for those times. Those are times of communion with God in His Word and in His Spirit, when we can grow deeper in the presence of Almighty God. Could you say amen? Glory. Now I want us to look at something here, the revelation about God and our loneliness. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and I will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. The still small voice can only be heard when all other voices have been silenced. Amen. Now, church, don't get me wrong. God can talk to you right in the middle of a singing service. I remember one time we had an evangelist that told everybody they had to be quiet while he was singing. They were singing too loud. He said, I can't hear from God. I began to wonder if he ever heard from God. Glory. Come on, church, smile. That's good preaching. Amen. But at the same time, God likes you to be in the stillness where he can commune with you and talk with you and get you out of the hectic world. Amen. But now notice this. A, the first revelation Jacob got, he received the promise of God's divine presence. Remember what I told you this morning? God told him he'd be with him. He said, behold, I am with thee. One of the greatest things that can ever happen to you when you get lonely is to realize I'm never alone. It doesn't matter what's going on with me. I'm never alone because my God is with me. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you go through the fire, it shall not burn you. Why? Because I'll be with you. If you got to go through the river, it'll not overflow you because I'll be with you. The great part about the disciples when they hit the storm in the boat was Jesus was in the boat with them. And the only thing that separates me from the world is the fact that when I have a problem, I've got a God who is with me everywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, my God is with me. And because of his presence, I dwell in the presence of my God. Could you say amen? Jacob felt alone until God said, I'm with you. Amen. Listen to this poem. I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. I've seen the storm breakers dash, trying to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of Jesus telling me to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Jacob understood that because all of a sudden he's got the promise of God that I'll never leave you alone. Amen. Praise God, church. Do y'all realize what that means? God said, I'll never leave you, nor I'll forsake you. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. How can somebody backslide? Because you can leave him. He said, I got somewhat against you because you have left your first love. That means you're the one that pulled loose from the marriage. Hello? As long as I hang on and I try to keep my side of the bargain, he's standing right there keeping his and he'll never let it go down. Could you say amen? Glory. Praise God. So I have that promise that God will be with me. Amen. I'll never forsake you. Many need to hear this tonight. Amen. Because we get to the point we think nobody cares, but I've got a God that cares, who cares about where you are, cares about what's going on. Amen. And the thing about this, he knows where you are. Yes, he does. Amen. My favorite verse of scripture has to be translated for you to understand what it means. It's 2 Samuel 5:16. Elishama Eliada Eliphelet. First one says, my God hears. The second one says, my God knows. Amen. My God knows where I am. My God knows what I'm going through. My God knows what it's going to take to bring me out. I will never be in a situation he's never been in, because my Bible said I have not a high priest who is not tempted by the feelings and the infirmities of his people, but was tempted in all things like as we, except without sin. So he's been there. He's been through it. And because of that, he can give me the promise, I will be with you and I will not forsake you. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Now, Jacob also received the promise of God's protection. Notice what he said in the B part. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Yes. Amen. Notice what he said. I'll keep you. Glory. David's out there getting ready to fight a battle. Things don't look good. He's outnumbered. You know what God said, dude? He said, just hang around under the mulberry trees over there, dude. And when you hear the sound of the wind in the top of those trees, you go forth because the host of heaven has gone before you. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? If I was, Hezekiah, he's praying. all of a sudden the king over there has told him, if you don't do what I tell you to do, we're going to come in and wipe you out. Your God can't do nothing for you. We've cast all gods in the river. And I hear Hezekiah, when he started to pray, he said, those gods were no gods anyway. They were molten images and carven images, and they got beat because they didn't have a God to start with. But he said, God, you are God, and you are the great and mighty God, and you're going to take care of me. And how did God take care of him? That night, an angel passed through the meal. 185,000 of the enemy was killed. The next morning, his two sons killed the king and took the army and went home. Why? Because God said, hey, I'm going to be with you. He looked at Jacob. He said, I'm going to keep you. You know what that means? I'm going to provide for you no matter what's going on. I'm going to take care of you. You say, preacher, can God keep that promise? Joseph, his son, got sold into slavery. Got thrown into prison. When his brother showed up, you know what Joseph said? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because my dad received a promise for God, I'll keep you. God knew there was a drought coming, and he put me here so I could feed y'all, because we got the food and we got it set up, and I'm in charge of all of it. Could you say amen? Amen. I want to tell you something, church. If God will go that far to keep a promise to Jacob, what will he do to keep a promise to you that he will keep you? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? There is not an enemy strong enough to take you out of the hand of God. Hello? Except you. Glory. Listen, Jacob was worried about Esau, but God said, I'm going to keep you. Don't worry about your brother no more. I'm going to take care of the situation. Any of y'all ever read the story? It didn't end here. Jacob goes down and goes to work for his uncle. He's so naive, he signs up to work with his uncle for 7 years to get his wife, and he messes up and marries the wrong one. Instead of getting Rebecca, he married Leah. So he works another 7 years, finally gets the one he wants. Then he's got a problem, because God is blessing Jacob so much that his men are starting to strive with Laban's men. So one night he just decides, I'll leave. You ever notice a pattern for Jacob? Every time things got tough, he just run instead of trying to work things out. Amen. He jumps up and he heads home. Now the problem he's got is Esau, the guy was chasing him when he got to Haran, and he went all over to this mountain. He's still looking for him. Hello? Now he's got another problem. Uncle Laban ain't happy because he's took his two daughters and the grandkids, and he thinks maybe he got some of his herd too, and now he's after him. And the Bible will tell you about the 32nd chapter, I believe it is, of Genesis. Here's this guy again, and Jacob was left alone. Hello? We got a guy with two or three wives, 12 kids, and he's by himself. I had one wife, two kids, and I couldn't accomplish that on the weekend. Glory. Hello? I could go lay down on the couch and somebody would find me and crawl up in the couch with me. Amen. But he's left alone. And what happened while he's alone in that tent? The angel of the Lord came in the tent with him. The Bible said, and he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. And he grabs that guy, and the guy turned around and says, hey, turn me loose. Jacob said, I ain't turning you loose. He reached over, took one finger, touched Jacob's hip. And the Bible said Jacob's hip came out of joint. The muscle disappeared. Do you realize that he drugged that hip and used a stick to walk the rest of his life? You say, what are you getting at? Running days are over. Hello? He can't even walk good, much less run now. And all of a sudden, he grabbed a hold of this guy. Now, let me tell you something, church. God was just questioning how bad Jacob really wanted to be blessed. Because let's face it, if I can take one finger and break your hip, I don't have to ask you to let me go. But he kept saying, let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until the breaking of the day, until you bless me, whichever comes first. And the Bible said, God said, I'll bless you. Amen. From now on, you're no longer Jacob. You're no longer the liar. You're no longer the supplanter. You're no longer deceiver. From now on, you're Israel. You are the prince of God. And from now on, I'm going to fight you battles. From now on, I'm going to take care of the problem. You say, what happened? That God that promised to protect him walked into the tent with Esau. Because he didn't send emissaries to Esau to try to work a deal. You know what Esau said? I don't want the camels. I don't want the goats. I don't want nothing you got but you. You owe me, big boy. You stole my birthright. No way I can get it back. See, if you gone, So I'm going to take you out, then I'll be the older boy again. I'll get the birthright back. And all of a sudden he rides up, and the Bible said, get this picture. Jacob is now standing outside the tent, leaning on his staff, which represents the Spirit. Glory. Just waiting on the enemy to show up. Laban's men come in and say, hey, boss said come get you. He wants to sign a contract. He just wants to be in business with you. Glory. Now, I don't know what made Laban change his mind, but I know what made Esau change his mind, because he said, last night, an angel of God came into my tent and said, I wanted to touch a hair on your head because you were God's man. Little brother, just come on home. We'll live in peace because I'm not bothering you. I don't need to have God against me. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That's the kind of care I'm talking about God will give you when the enemy comes in and you think you can't handle it. My Bible said when the enemy rushes in, the Spirit of God, like a standard, will raise up against it. David said, the Lord is my rock and my shield. In whom shall I fear? Why? Because he had a promise. God's going to take care of me. Could you say amen? But now notice this. He also had the promise of preservation. He said, I'll keep thee in all places where thou goest, and I'll bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. Jacob was forsaken by his friends, by his family. Amen. He thought he never could get back to where he used to be. He longed for the day he could go back to that house where mom taught him how to cook. And he worked with mom around the house and done things around the house. He longed for the day he could go back home. Glory. Amen. Frieda and I got married. She used to get upset because when I went to her mom and dad's house, I'd just go in and sit down because that was her home. You know, if I wanted something, I'd wait till they offered it to me. I wouldn't go ask for it. I went to my mom and dad's house. First thing I'd done was open the refrigerator. I might just got up on the table, but if there's the right stuff in the refrigerator, I'm eating again. She said something to me one day. I said, it's not a problem. I've never had to question when I got in there. Unless it's marked, don't touch, it's edible. Because whatever belonged to them belonged to me. And Jacob was just longing for the day he could get back to that place. He'd be at his dad's house. He'd be where he was. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of y'all need to hear this. Some of you have been convinced you can't get back where you used to be with God. Things have gotten messed up in your life, and you're convinced you'll never see the presence of God like you used to see it. Can I tell you, God told him, I'm not only going to keep you, but I'm going to bring you back to this place where we first came in contact with. I'm telling you right now, my God can bring you back and restore to you the very presence of his power. Could you say amen? Joel chapter 2, listen to what it said. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat of plenty and be satisfied. And ye shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Did you hear what he said? I don't care what you've done. You come back to me. I'm going to take back those things you got rid of, those things you messed up. Come on, church. You ever heard this? Well, I'm going to get your blessing. I got news for you, honey. You can't get a blessing that's supposed to come to me. Y'all act like God's a post office. Delivered to the resident or whoever's there. That ain't the way God functions. If he got a blessing for me and I mess up, he's going to put it on undeliverable shelf over there until I get back where I need to be, and then he's going to restore to me every blessing that I was ever supposed to get, every anointing I was ever supposed to have, every touch that I was. Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all missing this. Some of y'all may have blown it somewhere down the road and missed something. God's not giving it to somebody else. Ain't nobody walking around with your blessing. There's a blessing for everybody, but he's got yours on the shelf back there, and he's ready, if you'll get back where you need to be, to open up the windows of heaven and begin to pour into you the power, the grace, the glory of his love in your life. Amen. Glory. Glory. He also got God's divine promise for his future. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Well, what did he tell him? 14th verse, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad west to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What did he say? He said, you've got the bloodline in you. And through you is going to pass the blood that's going to bring the Messiah in the world, that is going to win the world to my kingdom. That's the promise he had for his future. Glory. Preacher, so what are you talking about? God's got a future for everybody in this building. God's got a plan. And as long as you fall into that plan, God's got a future for you. Amen. I like the old song, I don't know what my future is, but I know who holds my hand. And as long as I got hold of his hand, my future is going to be what he wants it to be. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? My future will always be what God has had mapped out for me all along. He always finishes his plans as long as we abide in his presence. Could you say amen? Glory. Hallelujah. Jacob received the promise that he was going to carry the seed of Abraham. But now notice this. He said, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God's promise to you are yea and amen. You know what he said? God's promises aren't slack. He ain't throwing them in a back court somewhere. He will keep them. Amen. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Luke 1:37, King James says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37 in the American Standard Version, for no word which cometh from God shall be void of power. You know what he just said? If you got a word from God, he don't have to have permission for it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Mary looks at him and says, look, Lord, I'm a virgin. How can I have a child? I've never known a man. How can this be? He said, God said it. And if God said it, that's all you need to know. Because if God speaks, it's going to happen. He don't have to have a vote of the 24 elders. He don't have to get it by the College of Angels. But when God speaks, his word is sufficient to do that he said it could do. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. God has always been a God that speaks into existence that he wants to be. And if God speaks into you, whatever he said, he is able to do that. He is able to perform. Could you say amen? Are you lonely tonight? Do you understand why you're there? Are you partially responsible? There's a remedy for it. Jesus is reaching down to you right where you are right now with the power to bring you out. And he's going to give you the promise that you can have his presence. You can have his preservation. You can have his protection. But you can also have the future he has planned for you. Jacob's response, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Jacob wakes up, and he realizes the reason for his loneliness. He's seen the ladder of God coming down. He's received the promise of the revelation, and he turns around, and he said, God's been here all along. I just lost sight of him, but that didn't mean he wasn't there. Honey, God has not walked away from your life. He's still standing there. You said, wait a minute, preacher, how do you know? Because in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open that door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him. I will be his God. Hello? God longs for the fellowship with you and I. Psalms 34:18, for the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart, and say such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord our God shall deliver him out of them all. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in my heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is noteworthy that Jacob changed the name of the place where he was. He said, what are you talking about? 19th verse, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. Luz means a place of separation. Bethel means the house of God. If we separate ourselves from the world, then we can become the temple of the living God, and his presence can permeate in our life every day. Amen. Matthew 27:6. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he went to the cross, suffered complete separation and loneliness, He knows where you are. Because in the moment of his greatest trial, even the Father in heaven turned his back on the Son because he could not look at him for your sins and my sins. Because of Jesus did this, he can sympathize and empathize with us from where we are. Listen to what Paul said, Philippians 2 and 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. Why? Because he wanted to pay a price for you and I so we could have everlasting life in him. And no matter where you are tonight, he loves you. James put it this way, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord. For the Lord is very pitiful, but he's still of tender mercy. Hallelujah. There's an old song, and I want to close just reading the verse to it. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my ever longing, keeps me singing as I go. Would you stand with me all over the house? Church, I fully believe with all my heart that God has put something in my life to tell someone who is here tonight. Maybe you feel lonely and that nobody can actually understand where you are. But understand this, God is with you. You may not realize it, but he's there. And he knows right where you are. He's been there. Well, preacher, I've been deserted. He's been deserted too. Well, you don't know where I'm at, but he does. He's been there. You will never go through anything he hasn't already suffered it. Betrayal, loneliness, a broken heart, even death, separation. But yet he still paid the price for you and I to have everlasting life in him. And all he's ever asked is that we call on him. Find that place to commune with him. And he can take the things out of our lives that we've put in to make up for the hole that's been left through the void of not knowing who he is to us. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. Master, you said it is not by might, not by power, but by thy grace and thy spirit. We believe you, God. Touch your people tonight. Every heart, every life, every soul, wrap your arms around us, Jesus. Lord, if there's one here tonight who's hurting, let them know how much you care. One tonight, God, that's separated and lonely and trying to figure out how to deal with the problems in their life. Let them know you care. That cold, indifferent Christian, God, let them realize you've not left them. You're standing with open arms saying, come unto me. I'll give you rest. To that young person that maybe doesn't know you like they ought to, let them realize you died for them. You want to give them joy and peace that they've never had before. A peace that passes all understanding, a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory that can only come from the knowledge of your saving grace. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name.